He was strong. He was courageous. He was a commander. He was wise. He was Joshua, God's warrior.
Hey guys, how you doing? Good, good. Before we get too far into the sermon tonight, I have a confession that I do want to make to the church. This week, I know I'm an adult, and I should deal with things in adult manners, in an adult manner. And I know I'm also a man, a human being, and I make mistakes like human beings. I have the same, you know, desires that most guys do. And this last week, in my office, I was online and got to a website. There's something there I probably shouldn't have engaged in, but I did. I left right away, and I was thinking about it all week long, and I kept going back again and again, and I gotta confess right now that I really like the Miley Cyrus song "Born in the USA" or "Party in the USA." I'm sorry, it's a good song, and I know as an adult I shouldn't do it, but I kept going back listening to it again and again and again, and I just, man, I'm sorry, it's a good song, you know, and I'm just saying, what? What do you think I was talking about? Look, I'm saying there are just some things that shouldn't be, right? Like, I'm a 31-year-old pastor of a church. I don't need to be listening to Miley Cyrus. Mm-hmm. But I like it. I'm sorry. I was born that way. It's a natural tendency, so just deal with it. Look, let me tell you another thing. That was funny for me. let me tell you another thing that just shouldn't be. Christians obsessed with materialism, right? Like, just like 31-year-old men should not be obsessed with Miley Cyrus songs, Christians and followers of Jesus Christ who now live for heaven and God should not be obsessed with things in this world. It just shouldn't be. You guys, by show of hands, anyone who's heard of this book called The Prayer of Jabez? Anyone heard of this book? This drives me nuts. Okay, let me tell you what. This book was written based off an Old Testament scripture. In the Old Testament, you're going to find, if you look in there, you'll find this guy named Jabez, and he says a prayer. It's like two lines long. The Bible says, and there's this guy named Jabez, and he was a more noble man than his brothers, and he prayed, you know, Lord, bless me, expand my territory, help me live for you. And, you know, and that was it. Well, this guy wrote this whole book on it, and now I'm okay with what Jabez prayed in the Bible. I mean, it's in the Bible. I've got to be okay with it. My problem comes with this book and what people have done with it. You see, they look at this prayer that this guy Jabez says, and he says, this prayer, well, specifically the book is saying this, this prayer is all about increasing your territory. And many people take this and push this to meaning God is all about bigger raises, bigger homes, better jobs, more influence over other people. And I'm wondering, is that what God's all about? Is God about you having more influence over other people? Is the whole God of the universe really all about you getting more money, getting bigger homes? This book tells you, if you just pray this prayer every day, then I guarantee, he says, God answers this prayer every time. God will expand your territory. I got a couple problems with that. Because first of all, I don't think we can say, I guarantee God will expand your territory every time. Because you don't control God, right? I don't control God. We can't say God will do such and such. God is wild, okay? He is not tame. We haven't controlled him, captured him, put him in a cage, and made him our slave, right? God's not going to do whatever we tell him to do. But this book has sold 9 million copies. Now, yes, Whoever had the heart attack when I was doing that intro, you're welcome. I gave you a heart attack. Yeah. Someone sent that in the text message questions. Look, but people, why did this sell 9 million copies? This whole looking at this Bible verse and then saying, oh, you know, we're going to expand our territory and God, I guarantee you, God will make you richer. Why did it sell 9 million copies? Let's put it in our outlines. This is why. Because we are obsessed with material things, even in our spirituality. Isn't this true? You know, when I got my first BB gun, it was a great day. Anyone, you remember getting your first BB gun or whatever? I got this BB gun, yeah. And I get it out of the box, and it's like, I mean, it just like smells awesome. It feels awesome, you know? I got this gun, I go out, I'm looking for birds, because I am going to kill me a bird, you know? And my mom's like, don't kill robins, just kill blackbirds, you know? I'm like, whatever, I'm killing anything that moves, including my brother, okay? Like, anything that gets in between me and the barrel of this gun's dead. Well, I didn't know a whole lot about BB guns. I didn't know that you had to pump them up like, you know, 5 or 6 or 10 times to get it to really hurt. Well, I go out there and I see this bird in a tree. I pump it once. I aim. Boom! I shoot. Bam! I drill the bird. And I see the bird go, ah! Tips over, boom, falls down. I'm like, I got it! My first shot with a BB gun. I killed this bird. It's so dead. But it didn't kill it. It was only one pump. I hear from the ground, ah! Ah! Then all of a sudden I'm like, oh no! I like wounded this bird, and now it's like choking on its own vomit or something. I don't know what happens to birds when they're dying, but whatever happens, it was happening and it sounded disgusting, okay? And I'm just like, what do I do? I was like, I gotta finish this sucker off. So I pumped this BB gun like 400 times. Like, I mean, if you would have tapped it, it would have exploded, right? And I'm looking for this bird. I cannot find it. I mean, there's like these bushes. I'm moving these thorns the whole time I'm hearing, kill me, please. You know, I'm just like, what is wrong with me? I'm a sick person, you know? Like, I just, and I swore I will never, ever shoot another bird again. And I didn't until the next day. But this is how most of us treat our materialism, right? We say, okay, I'm going to follow God. I am done with the things of this world. So materialism, ding, you're dead. And materialism's like, oh yes, I'm dead. Ow. And we're like, that's right, you're dead. Yes, I'm dead. You understand? And we walk around going, I'm a Christian. I'm not materialistic anymore. But then every once in a while, materialism says, catches our attention. And then we remember, oh yeah, I never actually killed it. I just wounded it. It's still there. And thus, in our Christian books, in our Christian prayers, it's not, how can I get closer to God? It's, how can I be godly by giving God the option of giving me what I want materially? See the problem with this? We say, I don't want to be materialistic. I want to be godly. Godly, God, please give me material stuff. Well, sometimes God allows us to have material things, that's true. But if we think this guy Jabez was blessed, and if we think he got a lot of material blessings, and if we think he has a really good synopsis on trying to find success in the world, I want to point out someone that just blows Jabez out of the water. Okay, let me tell you about someone who got some real serious blessings from God. We're going to be looking today at a group of people called the Levites. Right, the Levites are a tribe in the nation of Israel. Okay, they're in the nation of Israel, and it's one nation, there are 12 tribes, just like there are 50 states in the United States of America. And the Levites, out of all these tribes, the question is, did I ever find the bird? No, I did not ever find the bird. He might still be screaming. But the Levites, out of all of these tribes of Israel, man, oh man. Like, they were the tribe. We all know that Israel was a chosen nation by God, right? We're following here? like out of all the nations on earth, God took the Israelites and set them apart. But the Levites were like the chosen people among the chosen nation of Israel. You follow me? So you got the whole world, and God says, I really love the Israelites. And out of the Israelites, God takes the Levites. And they were closer to God than any of their brothers. When someone in the nation of Israel gave a gift to God, it went to the Levites. This was their deal. So you think Jabez was loaded and rich. We're talking Levites? Like the Beverly Hills of Israel, because everyone else in Israel, whenever they wanted to give a gift to God, they gave it to the Levites. That was the Levites' job. Pretty good deal, huh? Levites were the only ones who were allowed to move the tabernacle. The tabernacle was like their portable temple. They were the only ones that could come and touch it and move it. They were the only ones that were allowed to care for the tabernacle. They were the only ones who could be priests. They were the only ones who could carry the Ark of the Covenant, which had 10 commandments. It was like a symbol of God's Spirit. They're the only ones who can carry the Ark of the Covenant. Plus, did I mention that they got all the money whenever someone gave something to God? Did I mention that yet? Good, I just want to make sure I got that one. You see, they were like, Levites, baby. You want to talk about godly people? Well, I'm godly, but I'm not a Levite. Like, this is how it was, okay? They were even charged with whenever the Israel would move somewhere, and they'd set up the tabernacle, the temple. The Levites were charged with setting up their tents and homes all the way around it. You know why? Because God said, if the Levites didn't camp around the temple, other people might get too close. Do you understand what he's saying? He says, look, the Levites are a buffer between man and God. That's hot stuff, isn't it? I mean, spiritually speaking. Like the difference between a human being and God is big, and the Levites were that buffer zone. They were a very special people. How did the Levites become these priests of God? How did they do this? Was it by the prayer? You think the whole nation of Levites got together and were like, hey, I've read this book on the prayer of Jabez. It's so good. And they all read it and prayed it together for 30 days straight. And the God was like, dang, you got me. All right. You're special. You think that's it? No. You know how it worked was, Moses and Joshua went up on this mountain to get the 10 commandments. This is crazy. They're up there for a long time. God is writing the 10 commandments on stone. And they come down out of the mountain. And nod your head if you remember what they found when they come down in the mountain. They find the nation of Israel worshiping a golden calf. Israel had taken like their golden earrings, their golden belly button rings, their golden cars, everything, melted it down, formed it into the shape of a calf. And if you've seen movies, like the calf's always like, you know, like 10 feet tall and like 20 feet wide. Actually, historically, this is just funny. It was probably about this big, okay? Like it was really tiny and they probably like put it up on a pole or something. So anyway, so they're all worshiping this golden calf. They're worshiping an idol while Moses and Joshua are up on a mountain talking to God. It's like blatant, right? I mean, Moses is right there in the very presence of God, and Israel starts worshiping an idol. They're like giving God the finger, okay? Right there. Moses comes down, and he sees this. And Moses, well, after he sees this, he's not very happy. Now, let's just say if you went up the mountain and God himself wrote on tablets, like you'd be kind of like gentle with these things, right? You'd be like, God wrote on this. I really don't want to break it. I'm covering it in bubble wrap. Okay, yeah, you know, you'd be really careful. Moses comes down the mountain with these tablets from God. He sees them worshiping the golden calf, and he says, no! And you know what he does? He takes these things, and he smashes them on the ground. Like, this, he's gone insane. Moses is so mad. He smashes them on the ground. He says, stop worshiping idols. And he walks over to another area, and he says, whoever is for the Lord, come to me. Nobody came except the Levites. So the whole nation of Israel standing there by the golden calf going, oh, crap, he caught us. But he says, who's ever for the Lord, come to me. Well, the Bible says that the whole tribe of Levites, they rushed, and the word in the Bible is rallied. They rallied to Moses. What happens when you rally? Is it like you go, oh, that's a good idea. I'm going to walk there. Is that what you do when you rally? No. You've got thousands of people. You're like, let's go. Let's go. This is what we have to do. They rallied to Moses because Moses said, whoever is for the Lord, come to me. And the Levites rallied to Moses. No one else did. And after the Levites rallied to Moses, they were ordered. Listen, they were ordered to put to death the other Israelites. So they did. That's weird. So the Levites went and killed thousands of Israelites until God said stop. Now, I don't want to really get into the morality of killing people and all this sort of stuff. It's kind of a complicated answer, but we can say this. The Levites clearly were more concerned with what God wanted them to do than with any worldly consequence, right? They said, God's command is more serious to me than anything else. They have their mind set on God and God alone. They were committed to doing what God wanted above their country, above their relatives, even above their own safety. And so the result of this was that God said, from this day forward, I will bless the Levites and will bless this tribe above the nation of Israel. He said, I will set them apart, is what the Bible says. Now, God had already set apart the nation of Israel for himself, but he was going to set apart the Levites even more. I mean, Jabez has got nothing on the Levites. Israelites, godly people. But the Levites were godly among the godly, right? The Levites were the chosen people among chosen people. They were the really blessed people among blessed people. Now, in the book of Joshua, where we've been for the last weeks, Joshua finally takes over this thing called the Promised Land. The nation of Israel owns this entire area. It's going to be all their land, and he starts handing it out to the tribes. He says, okay, tribe of Benjamin, you get this land. Tribe of Manasseh, you get this land. Tribe of Judah, you get all this land. He's handing it out, and he's going to give everybody what they deserve. Now the land is going and going. Joshua's going to divide it up and everybody's waiting because you know the Levites, they're going to get the best of the best because they are blessed among the blessed, right? So let's read what happens. Grab your Bibles, turn to Joshua 18:7. See what they get for a reward. It's on page 170 if you're using our Bibles. Joshua 18:7. I mean, we know like this tribe, like, they're it. They're the pinnacle of godliness. They're the blessed among the blessed. What do they get? Joshua 18, verse 7. The Levites, this is Joshua talking, the Levites, however, do not get a portion of land among you because the priestly service of the Lord is their inheritance. Wait. This must be the wrong verse. Let me read it again. The Levites, however, do not get a portion. That's only a portion of land. Do not get a portion of land among you. Because what? The priestly service of the Lord is their inheritance? Excuse me? The blessed of the blessed get none of the rest of what was left. Nothing. If you were a Levite, you'd be angry. I'm telling you right now, if I walked around here right now and I gave everybody a $100 bill, I said, here's $100, here's $100, here's $100, here's $100, here's $100, and I walk up to you and said, by the way, you get to clean my office. You'd be like, whatever, where's my money, fool? Right? Now the Levites, they had not only just sat in the right place, they had been servants of God. They had been doing the right things all along. They were the only ones who rallied to follow God when everyone else abandoned him. And here God is handing out the land and the Levites don't get nothing. Let's put this on our outlines, okay? The Levites are blessed, but do not get an inheritance with the other tribes. The Levites are blessed, but do not get an inheritance with the other tribes. Have you ever thought about an inheritance, what your inheritance might be? We asked a couple of people what their inheritance might be. This is...
What do you think of when you think of inheritance?
Receiving something from someone?
I think of possessions that have been passed on from generation to generation. Also, something that a loved one cares enough to leave behind for you.
When I think of inheritance, I think of money or like things like cars and stuff that would probably get passed down. And
money?
Land. Lots of land. They're not making that stuff anymore.
Right? When you think of getting inheritance, you're like, what am I going to get? And we talk about land, we talk about money, you're thinking, my grandparents are going to die, and my grandparents have a lot of money, you know, I might get a little something-something when they die, right? And so we're okay with that, a little money, a little land, some cars, you know, that's okay. I mean, that's what I think when I think of inheritance. When the Levites are thinking, I'm going to get an inheritance from the Lord in this new land, they're thinking, this is going to be great. That's what they expected. But God's trying to teach a really hard truth here. This is on your outlines too. God's blessings do not always equal material wealth. I imagine that this was a hard truth for the Levites to deal with. God's blessings don't always equal material wealth. Come on. Imagine with me for just one moment, okay? Imagine your dad is a billionaire, okay? I mean, you grew up, you were friends with Bill Gates' kids, because like you ran in the same crowds, okay? Your dad's a billionaire, and he's getting old, and he says, all right, I'm bringing you, and you've got like six other siblings. I'm bringing you and your siblings here. He says, I want to talk to you. I'm going to give out my inheritance right now. And you're like, sweet. He says, to this son, I'm going to give you $1 million. Okay? To this person, I'm giving you 10 million. To you, I'm giving you 100 million. To this person over here, I'm giving you 5 million. And he looks at you. He says, but you are my favorite child. You are special. I love you more than all these others. You were there for me when no one else was. So you don't get any money. You get to be my secretary at my office. Are you thinking this is a good deal? No. You're not thinking this is a good deal, right? You're thinking, what on earth is going on with this? Like, this is just kind of crazy. The Levites rallied to God. From the day they rallied to God, they were a very special people. How is this an inheritance for a special people? Let me tell you very clearly, very succinctly, how this, getting to be the workers for God instead of getting land, is an inheritance. Let's put this on our outlines as clear as we can. By choosing to be followers and priests of God, the Levites linked their success and happiness with God. We have one question, and I'm going to jump right back into this. Did the Levites rebel against not getting any land? No, they didn't. They never rebelled against not. They didn't say, well, this isn't fair. And I think we're going to figure out why tonight. They didn't rebel against it. There were times where they were walking away going, ah, this really stinks. But they never rebelled against it. All right, let's go back to that line. I want to read it again. By choosing to be followers and priests of God, the Levites linked their success and happiness with God. Instead of getting an inheritance with the rest of Israel, the Levites received whatever God received. We said this earlier. Whenever someone wanted to give something to God, they gave it to who? Help me out a little more. Whenever someone wanted to give something to God, they gave it to thee. There we go. So the Israelites were supposed to give 20% plus extra offerings to God. Now this isn't, that's right. You're 20%. People get this 10% number from the Old Testament. It's kind of weird. It's actually, they're supposed to give 10% three times. 10% to the priest, 10% to the temple, and 10% to the poor. And then free will offerings among that. So if you want to be biblical about your giving, you need to be given 30% or more. Okay, anyway, we'll just forget about that right now. I just want to blow that myth out of the water. Okay, so the Levites were supposed to give 20% to the priests, plus any free will offerings. And so anytime anyone gave any money to God, they gave it to... When you do the math, if the Israelites were giving 20% to the Levites should be smoking rich. I mean, the Levites linked their success and happiness with God. Good deal. Because people are giving 20% to God, man. That means the Levites, if you do the math, every Levite should have five times as much as any other Israelite. So you see them walking around with a pimped out camel, or like a camel with like hydraulics and stuff, you know? Like, dang, that's a Levite. What's up? You know? I imagine they had a gang sign. That was terrible. So now Jabez has got to be getting jealous, right? I mean, not only do the Levites not have to say this prayer every single day like Jabez does. That was sarcasm. They just get 20% all the time. That's what I mean. This could be a much larger blessing than receiving land. This could be a bigger thing than anything, getting 20%. I mean, they're rich. Linking themselves to God for their success and happiness. Ooh, go Bucks. Or not. You see, however much the people cared for God, that's how much the Levites got. If people despised the Lord and didn't want to give, the Levites would suffer, wouldn't they? If people decided that they really love God and they just want to give and give, then the Levites would do well. But let me ask you, which one do you think people did more of? Despising the Lord's commands or loving the Lord's commands? Despising. I mean, even if, you know, the Israelites would have been like, okay, I'll just throw like a 20 in the offering plate as it goes by. Yeah, they didn't use offering plates, but you know, you get the point. If they were just like, just mediocre because they didn't despise God, but they didn't really have a passion for Him, I mean, then the Levites would have been okay. But most of the time, people severely neglected giving to God. I mean, kind of like today, you know, but so what did the Levites do? Because most of the time, they're not getting huge blessings. I mean, they link their success and happiness with God, and people are neglecting God. You know what they had to do? They had to do something that's monumental. Something that's so important for you and me. I do not want us to miss this. Let's put it on our outlines. This is what they had to do. The Levites had to learn to love God more than loving the rewards of God. They had to learn to love God more than loving the rewards of God. They had to learn to find that God was their treasure. You listening? So instead of saying, oh, I love God because people give me whatever they give God. God rules. Keep bringing the money. They had to learn to say, I am satisfied with God. You know, people often say, if I want $1 million, I give God at least half. And they say it with a weird accent like that too. You know, I said, really? So you would be willing to give God half of your extra if you had an absurd amount. Really? That's wonderful. You're a great person. What if all you had was $100? Would you love God or that $100? This is what God's teaching the Levites. It's not just about money. It's about loving God or loving prosperity. It's not about giving God the leftovers of our joy. It's about letting God be our joy. You follow me? It's not about having a lot of money and saying, oh, I love this money, I'll give God some. It's about saying, I love God. Plain and simple. It's not, I hope to win the lottery and give God half. It's, I don't care about anything. I have Jesus. Find satisfaction in God, then you will be satisfied whether you are rich or poor. You see, it is God's prerogative to allow you to be poor or be rich. God could bless you so much, you could be the world's first Google heir. I don't mean like, you know, you make money off Google.com. I mean, you have a Google of dollars. God could do that. God could also say, you're going to struggle for the rest of your life. Your best meal will be oatmeal warmed over a campfire because you have no home. That is God's prerogative. He could do that. And he would be well within his rights. The great news is, because this sounds kind of down, but the great news is that we can find happiness in knowing God no matter what is around us, whether it's cold oatmeal or caviar with mustard. I don't know what they put on that stuff. Whether it's really good food or really bad food, doesn't matter what's around us. We have the ability to find happiness and joy because God can be our joy. There's this guy named Hudson Taylor. I read his biography a while back. It is amazing. This guy, he was learning to be a missionary, and he actually was a missionary who went to China. Almost every Christian in China right now owes their faith to him. He brought it there first and he spread it the most. This guy did so many amazing things. He started orphanages. He started missions. He brought thousands of missionaries. I mean, this guy is awesome. A God, he's like a Levite among us. You catching on? But this guy, before he was a missionary, he was studying, he was preparing, he was praying. And he was leading a church service, and he led this service, and he had like 20 bucks in his pocket. This was all the money he had. He was struggling. He couldn't pay his rent. He didn't have any food at home. And this money was going to buy the next day's food. He had enough food for his evening meal and a little bit left over for breakfast. It was gruel. So this money was going to buy food for the next day. It was all he had. He gets done with his service. And there's a poor couple that needs some prayer. He goes to their house and finds out that they have four or five children. Their cheeks are sunken in because they're hungry, they haven't eaten. And the mother has a 36-hour-old baby lying on her. So the baby wasn't even crying, it was just groaning. It had no food, nothing to eat, and the mother was dying. He said, why didn't you, the family was Catholic, he said, why didn't you call the priest to come and bring you food or something? And the man said, it cost $18 to have the priest come. We couldn't afford it. And so he said, well, I will come and I will pray for you. And he prayed. And the man said, you can help us. Please help us. And Husband Taylor thought, I've got $20 in my pocket. I don't have food of my own. I've got gruel at home waiting for me and I can't pay my rent. And you know what Husband Taylor said to himself? It was a $10 bill. He said, if I had $20, I would give them 10. But I only have 10. And then it struck him. No, it's not what I should say. I shouldn't say, if I had more, I would give some then. If God is my treasure, I should give. He took the last $10 he had, the last food, the last hope to pay his rent, and he gave it to this couple. You know what he says? He says, when he went home, I love this quote. He says, my heart was as light as my wallet. He said he was extremely, disgustingly happy. Why? He just gave away all his money. He was so happy because he found that he could be satisfied in pursuing God and doing what was right. On the way home, you know what he did? He sang and danced in the streets praises to God. That's disgusting. Okay? I mean, he just gave away all his money. He's going home to eat gruel and he's singing and dancing, people. He's so happy. He goes home. He eats his gruel. And you know what he says? I would not have exchanged it for a king's feast. He found satisfaction in being a pursuer of God instead of a pursuer of material things. He was happy with gruel instead of dissatisfied with a king's feast. Most of us buy cars and want money and want raises, want a better spouse, want a better everything, and we're still dissatisfied when we get them. He gave it all away and was disgustingly happy. You'd be walking down the street, you see this guy singing and dancing, you're like, he's crazy. You're like, I just gave my money away. He was happy, he was satisfied. We got some questions here. Doesn't God say we don't have anything because we don't ask? We ask for more, won't God give us more to show he is good? I mean, Jesus says that he loves us more than our father does. And he says, if a son asks his father for bread, would he give him a snake or a rock? No. But Jesus doesn't say, if you ask for this, I will give you this. He says, if you ask in my name, whatever you ask for will be given to you. But the key there is you ask in Jesus' name. I can't really ask for a Ferrari in the name of Jesus because Jesus wouldn't ask for that. You can't say, hey, you, murder that person in the name of the law. That just doesn't work, does it? Because that's a violation of the law. Jesus will give us whatever we ask as long as we're asking in the name of Jesus. So if we ask something that goes along with God's will, he will give it to us definitely. We have to ask, could Jesus proof of this. You see, what Jesus is trying to teach us, what God is trying to teach us with the Levites, is that he's less concerned with our financial well-being and more concerned with our deep satisfaction. Look at your outlines, this next line. It is a wonderful treasure to find joy in God. You see, Hudson Taylor, when he's walking home and he's singing and he's dancing because he gave all his money away, if anyone would have come to him and said, but Hudson Taylor, don't you know that if you just would have, you know, ask God for more money, he'd give it to you and you'd be even happier? He'd probably say, well, sure, but that's not the point. I'm extremely happy right now after giving it all away. You know, I mean, we can finish that story up. You know, what's funny is he couldn't afford food the next day. It was a Monday, and he never really got mail on a Monday, but a letter came to him. He opened it up, and out fell like $50. I mean, if you're faithful, God will be faithful to you. It would have been more than, it was a 400% return, whatever it was. And I remember he just shouted, 400% return for 12 hours work. What a deal. But the point, you know, when he's giving that money to the poor, he wasn't saying, I hope God gives me more, was he? He was saying, I find my satisfaction in Jesus. See, look at Matthew 6:21. This is Jesus talking. He said, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So Hudson Taylor, where did he put his treasure? He put it in the hands of God, right? He put it in heaven because he's giving it to people who can't pay it back. So he's putting his treasure in heaven. So where was his heart? In heaven. So where did he derive his satisfaction from? Heaven. How might this apply to the Levites? For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If God wants the Levites to have their hearts focused on him, and if God wants the Levites to understand this truth that wherever your treasure is, your heart will be also, why would God not give them a piece of land like he gave everyone else? Because he wants them to not look at land and say, wow, this is a blessing. God wants the Levites to say, God, I need you, and then be able to say, God is a blessing. Understand the difference there? God wants these Levites to look to him rather than the things that he gives them. And that is why they were the blessed among the blessed, because God cared about them more than any material answer. Because less blessings on earth forces the Levite to look up and at God and say, you are my treasure, God. More than land, more than money. Listen to this truth. Lack of blessings on earth be the largest blessing for the Levites because they learn that God is their greatest joy. Put it on the outlines. God loved the Levites so much, he limited their earthly rewards so they would turn to him for their happiness. See, God has this eternal perspective. The Levites had their happiness and their success linked with God. I'm asking, I'm wondering tonight, will you link your happiness with God? Or are you going to keep on linking it with the materialism that you shot with one pump BB gun? Huh? Are you going to say, God, I will find my joy in you. I will find satisfaction in doing your things. Or will you try to find satisfaction in a halfway dead materialistic body that you're dragging around with you? We Christians must learn. It is not material things like the prayer of Jabez that brings us satisfaction, but knowing Jesus Christ himself, no matter the circumstance. He is what satisfies. Look, maybe you've experienced a lot of pain recently, all right? Maybe you're kind of dealing with some really crappy stuff at home. Maybe right now you're poorer than you've ever imagined you would be. You have less money right now. You just don't even know how you could have any less. Maybe you think, why did God allow this to happen to me? I don't want this. And I would sympathize with you. And at the same time, whatever your struggle is, I would say, probably not the right way to think to say that you don't want this. Because even if that situation was fixed, another one could come along that could cause you to lose your joy if you're putting your joy in your circumstances. I want you to be able to look past your circumstances and get your joy from a deeper well, from a larger source than any circumstance. John Calvin, he's a great theologian, he was on his deathbed, and he was in extreme pain. In his pain, this is what he said. Thou, Lord, bruisest me, but I am abundantly satisfied since it is from thy hand. He says, God, you have brought pain into my life, and that satisfies me because it is from you. He was satisfied with pain because he was satisfied by God and not a circumstance. Think about this for just a minute. Think about the craziness of this. Satisfied, ridiculously happy with your pain because you find your happiness from a different source than your circumstances. That would be pretty cool, wouldn't it? To be able to have a circumstance that's just disgusting, but you just, it doesn't matter. Pain, poorness, physical illness, sadness, depression, whatever, you're able to find joy in the midst of that because you have found Jesus Christ. And he's the reason we have deep, profound joy in anything. It's not because we recite some mantra and Jesus says, oh, you found the prayer of Jabez. Oh my gosh, then they got the magic words. I'm going to have to give them whatever they want now. No. It's because we set our hearts in heaven. We put our treasures in heaven and then we find joy from heaven. And that way, no matter what our circumstance is, however it changes when the wind blows, nothing changes for us because our joy is founded in heaven. Nothing can change that. Jesus is our treasure. He is the reason John Calvin was satisfied in pain. He is the reason that Hudson Taylor jumped and sang in the street after he gave everything away. I mean, Taylor was saying, oh, I only have 10 bucks. If only I had 20, I would give half. But then he decided to give it all. And what did he find? Regret? No. Satisfaction. Brother, sister, you who are constantly looking for something better, you know, your spouse should get better, you should earn more money, your boss should be nicer, you want a different job, a better, you want a job, you want different children, you want your children to shut up, you should have an easier life, whatever it may be. What if, now, I mean, God forbid. But what if right now is as good as it gets for you from a worldly perspective? I mean, just think about this. What if right now, from the world standpoint, what if right now is as good as it gets? Your spouse only gets worse. Your job only sucks more. They get rid of your boss and they bring in the Incredible Hulk, okay? And he hates you. Okay, what if your life only gets more difficult from here on out, right? Right now you walk with a limp. What if both legs get cut off and they put twigs in their place, okay? I mean, what if you pray the prayer of Jabez every day a million times and you are still depressed? There's some people right now in this room who are at the pinnacle of their life. It could be you. Everything might be downhill from here on out. I'm just telling you the truth. And just like the Levites, you know, they were in charge of the temple, you know? They were in charge of slaughtering animals in the temple. That wasn't supposed to be their best. They were supposed to be rich, right? They never got disgustingly rich. Slaughtering animals in the temple was as good as it got. What then? Well, let me suggest. This is on your outlines. The best blessing is learning to find satisfaction in being with Jesus. You know why? Because nothing can take Jesus away from you. Jesus will not change. Your husband will change. Your job will change. Your money will change. The stock market will crash. The presidents will change. The world will change. The wind will blow. Your whole life could be different tomorrow. But Jesus will never change. Nobody can steal your faith. Your satisfaction in God will not rust or rot. Have having our lives linked with God doesn't mean material wealth. I mean, it could for some, but not for everybody. For most of us, we will experience difficulties, at least at certain points in our life, but faith can bring peace in any situation, any time, no matter what, if we allow ourselves to find satisfaction in Christ by being focused above. In the presence of the God of the universe, and in the presence of His Son, Jesus Christ, when the Holy Spirit comes on power in you, cars and dollars look like meaningless dribble, right? So how do we do this? I'm just going to really quick. How do we do this? How do we find satisfaction in Christ? Colossians 3 tells us this. Since you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. That phrase, set your heart on things above, the Greek word there means to worship, to inquire, to seek out God. Let's put this on your outlines, okay? Practically speaking, we should worship and sing to our God. Pray regularly and honestly, taking all our emotions and passions into His presence. This is what Hudson Taylor was doing, right? He was going to God. He was singing on the streets. I mean, he was worshiping God. He was praying to God. He was putting his passion into following God. The next phrase, set your minds on things above. The Greek word there means to exercise the mind intensively. When you become a Christian, it does not mean you become spiritual and not a thinker. It means you're called to think hard, answer the difficult questions. And so let's put this on the outlines. We should exercise our minds on godly things like the Bible, theologically correct Christian books. We have library. Constantly study to learn about our Creator. Set your heart on things above. Set your minds on things above. This is how we find satisfaction in Jesus Christ. Essentially, it boils to this. Stop looking around and look up. Stop learning from commercials and learn from God's Word. I bet most of us, we hear more words from radio and TV commercials than we do from the Bible in any given day. Probably right, aren't I? Satan says more to you than Jesus. What do you think about that? I know what you're thinking. McDonald's commercials are satanic? No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying your material side is fed more than your spiritual side. We love our material things. No wonder. No wonder we're not satisfied. When I was a kid, I was playing on a basketball team. And I don't remember what happened exactly, but I sprained my ankle really bad. I mean, it hurt. I was on the sideline. I was trying to walk, and you know, I couldn't put any weight on it. And someone was screwing up on the team. We started going down, losing the game. So the coach said, "Jeff, you go back in." I was like, "My ankle!" He's like, "You go in now." I was like, "Okay." So I'm like hopping in like this, right? I'm like, "Okay, I'll get there." Well, the other team starts coming down towards us, and the guy sees that like my ankle's all messed up, right? And so he passes to the guy who's by me, but he passes from like half a court away. So he passes the ball, and I see the ball coming in slow motion. I'm thinking, my ankle really hurts, but I think I could get that. Oh, crap. Okay, I'm going to get it. And I jumped out. I grabbed the ball, and I dribbled it. I started running down the court, right? I'm like running full steam ahead. I do a layup, put the ball in. I'm like, yeah, all right. I'm walking back, all right? I'm there. He comes in again. The dummy tries it again. He throws it to the guy, and I'm like, seriously? I jump, I grab the ball, I run down, dribble, I shoot, man. I'm like, yes! You know what happened? My ankle didn't even hurt when I was doing that. Why? Because I was focused on the goal. Why are we materialistic? Why are we not satisfied? Because we're not focused on the goal. We're focused on everything around us, the commercials, the cars, the money, the wants. But we're not focused on the one thing that can bring us satisfaction no matter what. Likewise, Joshua tells the Levites, their inheritance is not the land, but the Lord. It can seem bad, but only if they're not focused properly, right? Once they focus and put their hearts and minds on things above, then they find satisfaction in a way that no one else can. They look to God and say, whatever you want, God, it's all for you. And that is satisfying. Remember how Moses said, whoever's for the Lord, come to me. The Levites rallied to him. I wonder, who is for the Lord? Like, who among us tonight rally? Lord, I'm not going to ask us to run up here. Have people get trampled. It'd be horrible. But, you know, I'm just wondering, who would rally to God? Would you rally to God and say, I don't care. All the worldly things are gone, to find a satisfaction in God. So I ask, will you rush to God? Will you lock your success with God? Will you find your satisfaction in Him? Will you set your mind and heart in heaven? The Levites totally and completely relied on God. Will you let your inheritance be the Lord Himself? Because this is what I want. Last thing here. This is what I want. I want you to have a desire to use Christ for your fulfillment. Use Christ for your fulfillment in life. Not His blessings, not anything else, but use Christ. And I want you to see stuff and your circumstances that just things that happen rather than things that you derive satisfaction from. Last thing on your bulletin, I'm going to say this, then I'm going to pray. Jesus is our happiness. Father in heaven, too long we look at things in this world, too often we miss the mark. We say we're happy if I get this, or happy if this changes, but God, satisfy our souls. We will worship you no matter what. Lord, I say right now, I link my success to you. I link my heart to you. God, I'm sure there's other people right here, right now, who want to link their lives to you. And I, God, just listen to their prayers right now. We put our success in your hands, whatever that may mean, rich or poor, wealthy or destitute, God, we are yours. In Jesus' name, amen.